fired flares and fireworks at police, and officers with riot shields are holding back crowds following the lunchtime attack. Local politician for the area and Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, says the community's in shock.
There aren't actually words to describe how numbed people feel. This doesn't happen in our city at a school as kids are being collected.
A suspect's been detained and a knife recovered. A four-day pause in fighting between Israel and Hamas is due to begin tomorrow morning. 13 women and children being held hostage in Gaza will be the first to be released, according to Qatari officials. Senior Tories are demanding Rishi Sunak act now on net migration. Revised figures show levels to the UK hit a record 745,000 last year. Suella Braverman, who was sacked last week as Home Secretary, has called the current levels unsustainable. And former Tory Cabinet Minister Jacob Rees-Mogg agrees something needs to be done.
The Conservatives promised we'd get it down into the tens of thousands. And over the 2 years, they've revised up 2022, and then they've come up with a new figure for 2023. Between those two, you've got 1.4 million net migration. That's a huge number for the country to absorb.
It's claimed government failure to act quickly on warnings about rising coronavirus cases in autumn 2020 led to preventable deaths. Speaking at the COVID inquiry, the chief scientific advisor criticised a lack of appreciation that quick decisions were needed. Scotland's Health Secretary says he'll cooperate with a parliamentary probe into an iPad bill of almost £11,000. Michael Matheson told Holyrood his son's racked up roaming charges by watching football on a family holiday in Morocco. And Great Britain will have to come from 1-0 down in their Davis Cup tennis quarterfinal against Serbia. Jack Draper was narrowly beaten by Mira Mercić-Svinovic in the opening singles rubber. That's the latest. I'm Faye Rowlands.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
It's just gone 8 o'clock on this Thursday night. You're listening to me, Gareth Williams, here on Phoenix 98 FM. And this is Bumper to Bumper.
Yeah.
Bumper here on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Gareth Williams, a trawl through Indian alternative from the 60s onwards. And going back 20 years for that one, Muse, Stockholm, I nearly got that completely wrong, and then just threw myself, Stockholm Syndrome, first single to be taken from their album Absolution, which was released 20 years ago. They've just released the anniversary edition. They did that with the previous album, Origin of Symmetry. I got there eventually. I completely forgot the title of it. A deluxe box set with vinyl and extra CDs and everything will set you back a mere £107 on Amazon if you shop around, or you could pay £201 for it on Amazon as well if you're so inclined. But I would go for the £106 if you really are going to spend that sort of money. That's a lot of money to spend on three vinyl and two CD, but I think vinyl costs lots of money these days anyway, doesn't it? First single to be taken from the said album, one of my favourites. That's also a live favourite for the band. They play that most of the time on most tours. Well, most of the time, that would be a very boring tour. Right, I've started off talking nonsense. You'll be pleased to hear that tonight you don't just need to listen to me, and the music is also good, but I'll be talking to Tarrant and Ben from The Sleeping Souls a bit later, around 8:30-ish. I've already spoken to them, I will admit. They are in New Zealand at the moment, so It dictated the need to talk to them at not live on air, but I spoke to them, and they're going to be talking about their new album, live performances and other such stuff. That will be coming up a bit later. But we've got music new and old. Nothing really old. No 60s stuff this time. I don't think I've got anything from the 60s. Probably going back as far as the 80s tonight. But this is brand new.
Of a life on the lash. I've forgotten how to care, but I'll remember for cash. It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Light the fuse, sing the blues, I can die if I want to. Tonight we're gonna bring tomorrow's happiness. Gonna live like it's the end. I love you to death, but I must suggest
Bye. to yourself, I know you did. You know you did it to yourself, I know you did. You only tell me when it's true.
Everything they've released off that album, Soda Blonde, and their brand new single, Boys, taken from their brand new album, Dream Big, the second album by the Irish band. I'm afraid that if you want to go and see them, you missed them. Last night they played London. I wasn't there, I was at another gig, which I had booked for quite some time, otherwise I would 100% have been there. I will go and see them live at some point. Yeah, I like them. Soda Blonde. And Boys. Before that, you heard R.E.M. and Orange Crush. I said I'd be going back to the 80s. I just did. Taken from the album Green. That was released as a single back in December 1988. Getting to number 28 in the UK charts. Will R.E.M. ever reform? I can but dream. That Michael Stipe solo album must be coming out at some point soon. But I've not seen anything on it. And then from the brand new, or it will be brand new when it's released next March, from the next, what they called Libertines album, got there, All Quiet on the Eastern Esplanade. That was Run, 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 first single to be taken from that, released last month. So not brand new. I did tell a porky when I said it was brand new. But new enough. More new music now. This is High Waves. Yeah.
crying, tragic waste of skin. I'm well aware of how it aches, and you still won't let me in. Now I'm breaking down your door to try and save your swollen face. Though I don't like you anymore, you lying, trying, waste of space. My own mind, a song to say goodbye, a song to say goodbye, a song to say.
There with brand new music from Highways. That's their soon-to-be-released single, Evie, which comes out on December the 1st. You can find out more on them on the socials. On Facebook, it's H-W-Y-V-E-S. It's Highways. Highwaves. So Highway and then V-E-S. Highwaves. Evie, as I said, is the name of the single. And then you have Placebo. A song to say goodbye. Not released as a single in the UK, just everywhere else in the world, really. I'm not sure why. Taken from their album Meds, which was released back in 2006. That was released as a single outside of the UK in March 2006. Placebo have just announced a live album, which looks quite nice, actually. And that's coming out next year. I think that gets released. A double album. Some nice limited editions of that. I'm sure they like to do their limited editions, do Placebo. And they're a very good live band. I have seen them live on numerous occasions. Obvs, really. Right, one more song, and then we will go into two more songs, but the second one will be by The Sleeping Souls. I'm talking to Ben and Tarrant from The Sleeping Souls after this by The Strokes, and then one of their songs.
Bye.
You're listening to Phoenix 98 FM, and you've just heard Weathering the Storm from The Sleeping Souls. And I'm joined by Tarrant and Ben from The Sleeping Souls. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for your time.
Hello.
How are you doing? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Sleeping Souls, you're probably best known for your work with Frank Turner. What's led to you stepping out on your own?
I think it's something that we've been thinking about for many years, basically. And then having a lot, I mean, Frank tours a lot, so we're out on the road a lot. And then we too have our own ideas of musical ideas that we would like to do something with.
Okay. And hence that's come about. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. We've just heard, as I said, Weathering the Storm. What can you tell us about that? That's the latest single from the soon-to-be-released album.
Yeah, so that song is, the main theme of that is really to do with what's been going on in Cahir's family life for the last couple of years. And it's really, the idea is about just going away somewhere with somebody, the one person that's really the closest to you. And just escaping, getting away from it all, and just, you know, weathering the storm, basically.
Yeah.
And the imagery through it, you know, is a lot of, the imagery is basically about, you know, surviving a military, like a nuclear war, basically, and escaping to an island and just hunkering down and getting through it. But it's a metaphor for personal relationships.
Okay.
The nuclear storm thing came about because Cahir had moved to the very north coast of Northern Ireland, and he'd seen a news report where the Russians were apparently planning to drop the bomb on his new village, basically, because the jet stream and all the rest of it would then waft all of the waste across the whole of the rest of the UK. But he was going to be ground zero, and that was, I think, one of the other. That's what sparked the...
Yeah, so he'd literally been there, like, he'd been there a week, I think, and then on Russian TV they had all of these diagrams, all of these images, and you saw the bomb tracking across the sky, and it was literally dropping on his village. It was quite something. He's just like, he's literally in the most northern point of Ireland. He lives nowhere close to any military installations or anything of any strategic value, but for some reason the Russians had one of their missiles pointed directly at where he lives.
Wow, so something that bleak has led to something that's fairly, yeah, I mean, the song's pretty powerful, but it came from something that dark. Wow, that's pretty depressing as well to find that out about your new location, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was best pleased at the time. But the good thing about Cahir is he's got a great sense of humour, so he always sees the funny side of things.
The gallows humour has to kick in with something like that, I would assume.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to take you back. I want to ask you how the Sleeping Souls came to be. I mean, you've been around, obviously, as quite some time. But, Tarrant, you especially, but Ben, you've got a hand in this as well from the written documentation on this. You were both involved in the hand of one of the greatest crimes known to music collectors of the world. And I just need to ask you how you defend this. For the radio... on a radio, that doesn't help that I'm holding something up. Dust Bowl, one of the first bands that you were both in, Tarrant, you were a founder, and Ben, you joined latterly, I believe, released your debut album in a silver plastic sphere that was impossible to store anywhere. I've never known what to do with that for all the years I've had it. Yeah, how do you defend that?
You have my abject apologies. I'm not sure who ever thought that was a good idea.
It sits on its own. I don't know what to do with it, but so it's always there. It's quite easy to see. So going back, sort of Dust Bowl, Dive. I mean, how did the Sleeping Souls come to be?
So Dust Bowl was a school band. Basically, it came out of school, and it had run its course by about 2000, and it then evolved into Dive when members changed out. With a new drummer, Nigel, who was formerly of Unbelievable Truth. And so Dive, we then did a few albums with, and we toured it. And I think we met Frank probably around about 2005 on tour with a band called Reuben.
Okay,
so
yep.
Frank's old band, Million Dead, had either just broken up or on the verge of breaking up. And Frank was out doing merchandise for Reuben because they were all mates, and he just wanted to get away and do something different for a while. So we met him on that tour, We were playing supporting Ruben and got to know Frank. We got on like a house on fire. He mentioned that he was probably going to be doing a solo project. And at the time we had our own studio, which was it was all ex-BBC gear, 2-inch tape machines, huge old format console. And we basically just said to Frank, look, we've got a studio. If you're at a loose end, you know, come over, put some of your solo stuff down.
Okay.
And let's see what comes out of it. So he did. That was actually all. I used to live with my stepdad and my mum in a big old kind of rambling house, and that's where the studio was. He came over and basically spent the summer there, more or less. And we recorded Campfire Punk Rock. That was the first thing we did in the basement there. And that was the start of it, really. And it just kind of grew organically from there. There was no real one moment where we were like, this is going to be a big thing. It just kind of happened, you know. We took it a tour by a tour, a record by a record. And okay. At some point, it kind of became a full-time job.
Yeah. We'll touch on the touring and how much touring you do. But you, sort of, I think, Ben, you mentioned that that this has been something you wanted to do for a while. And I read somewhere that the album's called Just Before the World Starts Burning. It comes out tomorrow. But I read it's taken 3 years to come to fruition, 3 years to record. I mean, sort of, is that due to the day job, so to speak? Or why has it taken so long?
Well, I think it's the day job, the horrible COVID C word. Didn't help either, as we didn't then see each other for about 18 months. But I think, I mean, the roots were before then, probably another 3 years of kicking a few ideas around and trying to get stuff together. But I think actually probably it was during the COVID times that we really said, let's do this now, because we can, and because the technology is there for us to record bits and bobs at home and then send them around to each other and actually start pushing it together. And I think we got the first couple of songs done and thought, actually, I think there's something here that we think is good, and hopefully other people might, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I said I think the reaction to the singles so far has been good. I've not seen early reviews of the album, but I've liked everything I've heard, and I'm looking forward to getting my hands on it. We're now going to listen to another one of the tracks, one of the earlier singles from the album, which is Rivals.
Spreading rumors. Is this what you want? Do you feel the
four singles that you, that have been taken from the album so far are pretty different in style. And the what was the writing process from it? I mean, you just touched on some of it. I mean, was it very collaborative? Were you all bringing different things to the table?
Yeah, I think that's fair, actually. I think that's one of the reasons it is so diverse a record, is that it's their ideas from everybody have come in. So some of them from Ben, some ideas from me. Probably the major... the two people who've had the most influence over it would be Cahir and Matt, but I think you can see influences from everybody in the band in there. One of the things for us was wanting to do something that was self-consciously not in exactly the same vein as Frank, because it would have been very easy for us to say, let's do Frank Turner Light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we wanted to do something different that was not treading the same territory, and so there wasn't any kind of confusion there, so to speak. And I think we've succeeded in doing that.
Yeah, no, I'd certainly agree. You wouldn't be able to tell straight away that the Sleeping Souls are and Frank Turner. It's definitely got its own sound to it. I think that's definitely it's worked then. Yeah. So, and 15 years of Frank as a front man, I mean, how did Cahir step into that role? I mean, and how did he become part of the band?
You want to take this one, Ben?
I can do. We've known him as basically as long, if not longer, than we've known Frank, actually, from his work in Jet Plane Landing, where he was guitarist, and then he was in Fighting With Wire, who I think Dive, possibly Dust Bowl played some shows with. So I think there's been... It's been, you know, we've everybody's known each other in the camp for a long time. And Cahir comes out on tour and does some of the roadieing / tech guitar teching stuff with us out on tour. And he's also he's stepped into a number of our roles and filled in when we've needed it in the past. Frank, when he slipped one disc and herniated another. Yeah, he learnt all the acoustic parts in a week, and his first show was Reading Festival main stage.
Blimey! Okay,
he's been around a while, but I've never. You don't normally see it, but that was one of the few times I've seen Cahir nervous. No, but you know, when me and Tarrant had our children, he's also learnt our parts and stepped in and done all that. So he's very much part of the family, the touring family.
He is basically a proxy Sleeping Soul. It's not a big stretch to call him a Sleeping Soul, really, which is why it made sense.
Yeah, okay, excellent. Mentioned the touring and some of the gigs again. I mean, you've played huge venues. I mean, main stage at Reading, headlined Wembley Arena, that little thing at the Olympics sort of opening ceremony. I've been lucky enough to see you live a few times, and you really all do seem to actually enjoy playing live. It seems to be something that you see some bands and that doesn't always come across, but it seems something that you're passionate and enjoy. I mean, but which sort of gigs do you prefer? Do you have the huge ones, the more intimate ones, or does everything bring a different thing?
All of them, I think. I think it's the variety. You get bored doing any one type of show. To give you an example, at the beginning of festival season, everybody's really hyped to be going and doing festivals because it's, you know, it's nice to be out in the summer and doing nice big shows outside, big stages, all the rest of it. About halfway through the summer, everybody's kind of got, oh my God, please, no more festivals. Can we go back to doing our own tours? And it's the same with everything. You know, it's nice doing really small, intimate shows. It's nice doing big shows. It's the mix of them that makes life interesting.
Excellent. And I take it you do enjoy them as much as it seems. So you can't put that on, can you? I mean, that's...
Yeah, sorry, go on, Ben.
I think it's an odd choice of job, and it takes us away from family and friends for a lot of time. I think you have to enjoy it, otherwise you wouldn't carry on doing it as long as we've been doing it.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah, there's been a lot of gigs. You were one of the first bands to actually take to the stage. I think it was the night that the COVID restrictions were lifted, mentioning the C word again at the Clapham Grand. I was there that night, and I must admit, I got pretty emotional. And yeah, that was dust in my eye, definitely. But I mean, how did that feel? Sort of stepping back out on stage with that audience and doing it after so long, and not including the socially distanced and the online gigs and everything.
I think it was pretty, it was an amazing feeling, definitely. And like you, I think all of us on stage were pretty emotional about it as well. It definitely felt, we were unsure of what the future held at that point, and we definitely didn't have confidence that this thing that we were doing was going to go on. So it was a little bit, it was like a tentative first step outside into the sunlight. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to go back to COVID. That was not a fun 2 years.
No, I mean, I can't imagine for the likes. Yeah, as you say, it's your chosen career, and to have that taken away from you must have been heartbreaking. And the stuff that you and Frank did to support the small venues and all of that kind of thing was actually really inspirational for the people that were sitting on the sidelines watching. So
mainly, thank you for that. Mainly Frank, I'd have to say. Honestly, the man is an inspiration when it comes in terms of the work that he does for charities, and just he's very, very focused and driven on giving back and doing whatever he can to help people. So that's down to him. I don't think we can particularly take credit for that ourselves.
Okay. You're currently touring New Zealand and Australia, but then you're back in the UK and doing Sleeping Souls gigs. You're playing, so there's a few gigs, including one in London at the Garage in Islington in January. How's it going to feel to actually get there and play these songs that were your ideas and your songs and your stuff?
We don't know.
Oh, right.
I mean, these are literally the first shows, so we don't actually know. I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a little bit like walking down to the sea the first day on holiday and dipping your toe into the ocean, not knowing whether it's going to be warm or it's going to be cold, or you know what the experience.
Shark infest.
Yeah, you're going to get stung by a jellyfish. Who knows? Yeah,
it's okay. But looking forward to them, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Really looking forward to playing this stuff live. Particularly some of the, for me anyway, particularly some of the faster, heavier stuff. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and Garage, a great little venue. It should be absolutely, it'll be a great night, I would think. Looking forward to that. Is there, you know, is this a one-off, or is there more music within the band and more plans for...
I think we've always seen this as a kind of long-term thing. It's definitely, you know, our main job, our main function is to be Frank's band, and as and when we have time to do more Sleeping Soul stuff, we'll do more Sleeping Soul stuff, probably put out another record, and on that record we'll probably tour it. It's not a focus where we're going to tour it hard and, you know, go and try and take it all around the world and spend, you know, 18 months doing that. That's
not yet.
Not yet. Maybe in 5 years' time when Frank's settled down and has decided to, you know, put on his slippers but we want to do more music. We want to play more shows, but we're not in a mad rush. We'll just take our time and pace it.
So, I mean, I saw an ex-Sleeping Soul. I went to see The Unbelievable Truth at Bush Hall last month, I think it was. And they supported themselves with the acoustic and then the full band and everything. Any temptation for Sleeping Souls to support Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls? I mean, would that work? Or would you just be too exhausted to do?
It sounds like hard work to me.
It sounds too tiring.
Yeah. I suppose the benefit for The Unbelievable Truth was it was acoustic and a lot more gentle than some of the stuff that you're certainly doing live. So the album is released tomorrow on all good streaming services, and there's physical nice blue and green vinyl and CD versions from Extra Mile Recordings and everything. So if you listener, if you want that, you can go and buy it or go and stream it as of tomorrow. Thank you both for your time today. Enjoy the rest of your time down under, and we look forward to seeing you when you're back in the UK and playing those live dates.
Thanks very much, Gareth.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Gareth.
And from the album, Just Before the World Starts Burning, as I said, released tomorrow, we're going to finish off with another single. This is Caught Up in the Scrape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you to Ben and Tarrant of the Sleeping Souls there for their time chatting to me. The new album is out tomorrow, just before the world starts burning. Stream it or go online and buy it on physical stuff. And enjoy it. It was lovely to chat to the gents. It is just coming up to 9 o'clock on this Thursday, the 23rd of November. You're listening to Bumper with me, Gareth Williams. And we're going to do this now from the Gillywatts.